I'm still getting over that.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Black Belt
or Bust.
I'm Misty.
And I'm Keely. I forgot that I was supposed to respond. It's been that kind of day.
It's already early. But today we have on Natty Boss. We had her on the podcast before. She is a registered dietitian. Do you have another title that you like to use because of everything else that
you titles do today?
Yeah, so I'm shifting more into kind of what everything encompasses is like a holistic performance life coach.
Yes. So I wanted to bring you on today because you have a masterclass coming up. You have your competition mindset masterclass. And I wanted to talk about why you decided to do this masterclass, what it brought up, maybe issues you've seen with the female athletes you've worked with in the past, and things to help them overcome by doing this. So let's...
And one thing I would kind of preemptively like to say is you have an interesting perspective to be able to come from. It seems like lately we have interacted with a lot of female athletes that have recently given birth and are looking to come back to competing, and you've done the same thing. So you're able to give a new perspective where it's not necessarily leaving the newborn, but being able to, that it's not selfish to want to compete, that you're able to like focus on all of these aspects of life. Cause it seems like lately I feel like I've ran into a lot of women that are coming from the same situation, and that you have a much healthier approach to it than some other people. You know, I mean, I've been around the CrossFit community and sometimes it's like, well, you just need to drop everything and get back to it. And it's like, no, you can slowly kind of transition back into it, go at your own pace. Mm-hmm. So especially for you, because you jumped right back into competition in terms of like getting yourself prepared, how does that go into the masterclass and what is the masterclass itself that we're talking about?
Mm-hmm. Lots of questions. So where do you want to begin?
All right. I guess I can start with
the intention.
I was just about to say the intention. I was about to use that exact word. The intention of the masterclass. You know me by now using that word.
Yes.
So the intention of the masterclass, if you've done any of my stuff or been in my world for any amount of time, I've done macro masterclasses, breathwork masterclasses, but I really wanted to cater something a little bit different and something that's really prevalent in my world and what I've been seeing lately. So with COVID, one of the kind of triggers to wanted to create this was like since COVID, and even though it's still present in some areas of the country and the world, competition's opening back up. And so people have kind of got that itch to compete a lot. I see a lot of people competing. And so I wanted to give back and support those who are competing. And so that's why I wanted to gear this masterclass more towards like a competition mindset thing. The other reason is that everybody who joins our Facebook group and people who I message and speak with all the time and posts that I create, the posts that resonate the most are always mindset related. And the struggles that I discuss with women and that they kind of share with us when they join our Facebook group, as one of the prompts of like, what are they struggling with? Mindset is always one of the biggest ones. Mindset is very broad, but it's things like self-doubt is a big one. Imposter syndrome. So this is like those who don't believe that they deserve their rank and, you know, they're offered to teach and they just don't have the confidence. So body image, their relationship to their body image and like how that affects how they show up in the competition, just due to like weight cuts and the methods that they end up using. So there's like a lot of things under the mindset umbrella. And what I know to be true is that mindset is probably like 80% of actual jiu-jitsu and 20% technique and drilling. And I really believe that to be true. One of the things that why I'm passionate about this particular masterclass is because this is the work that I've done over the past many years, like few years, like since Purple Belt, to actually overcome the limiting beliefs and blocks that I was having due to my own conditioning and my own past experiences. And I saw a direct relationship to, not that it's always about winning, but at the end of the day, if you're competing, you probably want to win. But I saw a direct relationship to my performance and winning, whether it was like, not just like getting gold, but like more so like the little small things, like Misty, like when you were sharing about your PANS experience, those little things were like even wins, like your ability to show up fully, what I like to call a full body belief, your ability to actually execute in full body belief on the mat. So what that means is like going for the sweep, even though you're nervous that if you do the sweep and you fail, they're going to pass your guard. Right. So not letting that fear dictate you in the present moment, trusting yourself. Yeah. Because that's ultimately what performance is. That's how we execute. Like we drill and we drill and we drill. And then our execution all depends on our ability to believe in ourselves. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to let one extra rep in that competition isn't going to what's going to make you a miraculous fighter. Yeah. It's the belief in that moment. Can I give myself full body belief because I've put in all of this work and trust that, you know, I do know what I'm doing and I can entrust that. And that's really what holds people back. And that's what has led me to have numerous losses, has always ever, like most of my losses, I'd say like 99% were by 2 points. And it was the takedown because I didn't believe myself the moment I stepped on the mat.
Yeah.
So they would get a takedown and I would just kind of, similarly to what you experienced at PANS, I would just stay on the bottom and kind of the thoughts going through my mind where I'm already lost. Mm-hmm. I already lost. I'm already on the bottom. I'm already down. And then it was kind of like this, that was the fuel that prevented me from actually trying things. And that's how I would just lose. And it was so frustrating because I'd always leave the mat and I would be like, well, I didn't actually do my best. Like, that's not how I train. That's not how, like, that's not me. But also I had many opportunities to step into my belief in that moment and I didn't.
Yeah.
And so like, that's like the narrative I'm trying to help people switch because that's what true performance is going to be able to be unleashed when you can unlock that code in your mindset.
Yeah. And I'm starting to realize that more and more because when I shared with you what was going on with me mentally at PANS, it was like one, feeling worthy enough to sign up for PANS, to make that even a goal in the first place. That's a big mindset step. So for many people or women specifically, I think because not many of us grow up in competitive sports, even like, I mean, it can be anything from like soccer to like a team competitive sport, like soccer or more individual, like track and field, or even the more feminine sports like dance or cheerleading or gymnastics or tumbling. There's a small bit of us who do these things and even have that competitive drive, but stepping into a sport as an adult female, you know, and we're so ingrained with so many ways of thinking that if we, you know, we haven't done these competitive things before, you know, we're taking on a new thing. So it's like, mm-hmm. You see something small, maybe like a local tournament, which is still a good feat in itself. You know, it's like, okay, I can sign up and take this small step at this local tournament. And then to look at something bigger, like worlds, you know, all of those things are development within the mindset of the sport is like the worthiness. And then the second thing is, like you said, being in your match, because you're looking at your opponent in the face, like in their eyes, you have to slap hands and bump fists with them. And then make sure that you 100% believe that I'm going to get my grips first, or I'm going to go for this shot first. I'm going to do these things first. Mm-hmm. And even if it happens, if they're first and you're not, you still have to carry that belief. Like, no, mm-hmm. I can take this back. I can take this match back. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened to me at PANS. And it's taken so much more work to get to that point to be like, oh, she's up on points. I have no points. There's a minute left. No, I'm fine. I got this. And that's what happened. Mm-hmm. And now I could carry that with me forward But I've already put in that work, and I know there's so many other women who are competing for the first time that need to do a lot of that mindset work. So they can.
Well, I think you brought up a good point with the first section, is that for a majority, there are exceptions. For the majority, I think it's not being aware that there's kind of a reprogramming step where we have to alter how we're thinking before even going to the next step. I think it's just, it's either not talked about or they're not including that. They're thinking, okay, just go out there. And it's like, no, it goes back to training. So how you were talking about the mindset itself, how much do you think that the mindset day of competition is influenced based off of how you've been training or kind of like your curriculum that you're following in preparation for it?
That's a great question. I'd say that is kind of like the cherry on top of everything that you're doing, and nothing that you do day of competition is going to radically alter, which is why when I work with athletes and they're telling me, hey, I want to compete, I get them started on mindset work and breath work ASAP, because I'm like, you need to feel this. You want to get into the habit of feeling what it already feels like to win and be a champion now. And what happens in the body is that the more that we can process the emotions that come up. So when you're doing a visualization and that anxiety comes up, every time I do a visualization, when I know that I'm competing, I start my visualization, and anxiety comes up every time that I am at the point in my visualization where I'm about to step on the mat and slap hands, every single time. So what I do is I work through that anxiety and I feel through that anxiety as if it's happening in the present. So by the time, because the more repetition that you do that, by the time you step on the mat in real time, your body's like, hey, we did this 100 times. This is easy. We've already know exactly what's going to happen next because we've planned for it. And we have the belief in the body that like, this is what's next. So like what, and that's part of the visualization, is like, what is your perfect world? What do you grip? Do you pull? Do you do your favorite takedown? Like, what is it? But what I feel like where there's a gap is that people do it the day before, the day of, and they're like, it didn't work. And it's like, well, no, the body needs to have a reprogramming. It needs to have a reprogramming. And so when it comes to this mindset masterclass, this competition mindset masterclass, there's kind of two parts to what I'm going to be doing. I always love that a teaching component. I'm a teacher by nature. And then also there's the somatic, which is kind of like my breath work and my healing work that I do, because that's really where deep transformation happens. So I want to talk briefly about the difference between mindset and embodiment work, because that's critical. Mindset work is literally of the mind. It's of the conscious mind. So what we're doing when we're doing mindset work is similar to what I talk about often. And I'm even running a free affirmation challenge in one of my Facebook groups now, where affirmations are amazing to help us rewire our neural pathways from old belief systems and old self-talk that isn't serving us to new. But the thing about the neural pathways is that it takes a lot of time. Like, repetition is seriously the number one ingredient. Like, and I mean daily, like you can't miss a day. You have to constantly reprogram, because what we're doing is with neural pathways, however long that you have been thinking that old thing, it's strengthened that neural pathway. So there might be like 100 fibers going to this one belief that I am not enough. I am not enough. And then if you only just started your affirmations the first day and you're like, I am enough, right? What's going to win and what's going to play out is what has the strongest fibers, because that's what our body's going to default to in times of stress and overwhelm. So it's absolutely possible to every day focus on your affirmations. I still do my affirmations every single day to the point where I can recite my 30 affirmations through an app. And it really does come in handy, because there's these moments of the day where, like, if something happens, all of a sudden my body, because I feel into and listen to it every day, it's like hardwired in my brain that that affirmation, whatever one it is that I need in that moment, comes up. And I'm like, oh yeah, recalibrate to this affirmation that I am now choosing. This is the version of me that I'm stepping into. And it's second nature because I do it every day. So it takes a lot of time for mindset work. Because our mind is literally designed. When I say our mind, I'm always talking about the conscious mind. And this is really important because I'm going to talk about the subconscious. our mind is literally wired to resist change. It is wired to resist change. So here we are trying to use affirmations to do this, but there's going to be this deep resistance of the mind, because any time our mind, our kind of one of the big purposes of our mind is to create a self identity, which is our ego. It wants to know, who the hell are we in this world of billions of people? Who do I stand out as? And so it creates these stories and these identities so that when somebody asks me, who am I? We have answers right off the bat, because, oh, this is exactly who I am. But the sticky part here is a lot of the beliefs that we hold and the identities that we have about ourselves are not actually what's true in alignment with what's going to support us in our dreams. A lot of these are identities that we have adopted through fear and through patterning and conditioning. And so this is the part where we need to dive a little bit deeper into the subconscious, because, for instance, an identity that is very common is, I'm a people pleaser, or I'm a perfectionist. So if somebody's talking and they're like, oh, a part of me, what's my identity? Well, you know, I definitely say I'm a perfectionist. Okay. That is an identity that you are claiming, affirming. And so every action that you take will reinforce that belief, because that's how the body works. The body is not going to allow us to do something that is in incongruency with a belief system. So if perfectionism is holding us back, and if it's causing us to do self-sabotaging tendencies and think an all or nothing mentality, black or white, and leaving no room for gray area, no room for growth, without fear crippling us because we can't get it perfect, then how is that actually serving us? It's not. So then we have to start looking at, oh, wait, this belief isn't actually serving me, even though it's, you know, an identity. So not all identities belong to you. You get to change your identity and shift it. How we shift our identities is through subconscious work. Because again, our subconscious is below consciousness. Our mind is a programming machine, or our mind is a categorization machine. So based off our past experiences and our felt sense and the emotions that experience in our body, our past experiences, trauma, conditioning, which all live in the body, based on all of that, our mind has to work, right? Because our mind-body connection. So our mind comes online based off past experiences and says, how do I make sense of the thing that just happened? Is the thing that just happened good or bad based off my past experiences? So we're doing a match, we lose. Our mind comes on and says, I lost. What does this mean about myself? Based off my past experiences, if every time I conditioning, if I got, if I was in school and I got B's on my test and I was proud of my B's, but my parents were critical of that and they kept saying, oh no, you need an A, B isn't good enough, B isn't good enough. That's one aspect, small aspect of conditioning that could have a major impact on the way that we view our world moving forward, because now we're always striving for like this, and it's nothing wrong to strive for doing your best, right? But this element of not being good enough. So then when we realize that, okay, gold is what I consider good enough, that A, if I fall short of that, that means it's a reflection on my character and who I am as a person, which means I'm a failure, which means I'm not worthy. And so the way that we show up in jiu-jitsu is literally the way that we show up in life. So taking a look at the way that we show up in those situations when we're at our career and our work, and do we have that same relationship and language that we talk to ourselves? Because that's just going to be another translation on the mat. So we get to use these little moments in life to give us awareness around where are my limiting beliefs and what's coming up and present for me, because that's the same shit coming up. Can I curse on here?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay.
I the F word is like my favorite word, unfortunately. Okay.
So it's the same shit reoccurring that's going to happen on the mat. And so this is what we call patterns. Patterns repeat themselves until they are addressed. And patterns are created from unmet parts of us when we were younger. So when we were younger, things happen, life happens, we're conditioned. And when we had a need, a physical need, an emotional need, oftentimes it's emotional, but like if we had a physical or emotional need that was not met, what happens is that part of us gets frozen in time, literally frozen in time. And it's stuck in our body because our body, so our mind is our categorization machines, good, bad, how do I navigate? Like, let me logical reasoning. Our body is subconscious, it's intuitive, and it's a, it's where all of our programming lives, our conditioning, our emotions. And this is what gives us the actual truth of like our experiences of what's happening. So what happens is most of us living right now, we live outside of our body. We live from the neck up. We only live in our head. What are all the thoughts in my head? What do they mean about me? How do I move forward with all of these thoughts? And what we know to be true is we have about 80,000 thoughts a day. Perhaps more than that. I might be wrong, a little bit wrong on that number. I made a post about it, but I remember that 80% of them are negative. And then I believe around that same percentage are the same recurring thoughts that we've already had. So if we live in our head, we're living in negative thoughts most of the time based on statistics, and it's the same thoughts that we have every day. So if my thought every day is that I am not worthy, we're reinforcing this belief. And that is the way, literally the lens in which we are viewing the world, because it's the only thing that we're thinking. So then we have a filtration system that says, okay, what about this? How can I constantly reinforce this belief as I move through the world? Oh, okay. Well, my husband said this. So that's a reflection of me not being worthy. Like, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong here? What did I do wrong? That's how we end up viewing the world in such a narrow way. So we can try that affirmation. It just takes a long time. So the cheat sheet and the quick way to shift beliefs is to get into the body to understand, where did that belief stem from? And this is where we do a lot of what I do is inner child work, a lot of shadow work, inner child work. Shadow work is basically addressing the parts of us that we've repressed and that we're deemed shameful and that we're deemed, you're not allowed to do that, or you're not allowed to say that. Don't let anybody know that that's a part of your personality. That's not going to be accepted in society. All those types of things, whether that's, and it's not just negative as in like what we deem negative emotions to be. It's things like, don't be too big. Oh, you're too loud. Yeah. You're too energetic. Those are positive qualities that are deemed wrong. Mm-hmm. So it causes us to be small, be quiet, which is out of alignment with our blueprint, if that's you, right? If you consider yourself to be like that big, loud person, that's out of alignment with your blueprint. So you're always going to feel a little disconnected from who you are because you are disconnected from who you are.
Yeah.
And so we get to go into the body using somatic practices to release the stuck energy frozen in time. When did these belief systems happen? And it's like little kinks in the system. And as we move the energy using breath work, other somatic practices, we basically release those frozen energy. And I like you to think of like, we're literally melting energy. We're melting the energy in the system. And through that, what happens when we have frozen water to melted water, right? Water is a flowy, it's streamy. So it's more of a stream of well-being through the body versus like kinks. We're like now like, energy is just kind of like, like, because there's all these little blocks in the body, and these blocks, what we know to be true, cause contractions and physical kind of like tension. The more of that we have in our body, the more we are acting out of fight or flight, because we are acting from a contracted fear place, which means our fight or flight trauma responses are on and up. Mm-hmm. And so long as we are in that, if we are living from that place in our body, you have no room. There is no room for big picture thinking, for full body belief, for confidence, for self-worth, because you're acting out of fear the whole time. So
No, I was just going to say, do you think this is where a lot of that like imposter syndrome comes into place? Like, if you've been shrunken your entire life, or you've, and when I say shrunken, like those things that you talked about, yeah. You know, it's like you accomplish something and it doesn't seem real, or like you don't feel deserving of something. Is this where a lot of that imposter syndrome comes from is like, oh, you know,
100%.
Like, yeah, like you earn a PhD and you're like, I don't deserve to be this, even though you literally earned that title or that rank or this accomplishment.
Or do you think it's tied into becoming more aware of the knowledge that is out there versus the knowledge you actually have? Because I always talk
that's
about
like beautiful.
The
yeah.
four levels of competence, where it's like the unconsciously incompetent, you don't know what you don't know,
mm-hmm.
all the way to consciously competent, well, unconsciously competent, where it's you don't have to think about what you know because you just know it.
Yeah.
And I feel like as we go through the stages, especially like hitting on imposter syndrome, you become so much more aware of what is out there. And then mm-hmm. you kind of self-depreciate where it's like, I know that I do not know what's all out there. So it's like, since I have more awareness, that's when kind of more of the fear comes in, where it's just like, oh, I really don't know. Cause you know, we hit the stage, and I'm gonna pick on you. We hit the stage in Blue Belt where we're like, we know jujitsu. And whether it's the most confident we are. And then all of a sudden we're like, we really don't know jujitsu.
Yeah.
And it's like, we kind of, like you said, we pull in on ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
So kind of going back to that, we have this internal component of ourselves where you said like the conscious and subconscious mind, where we're focusing on ourselves. And then in jujitsu, we also have this external component. So our gym itself, our the environment at which we are in. And like you were saying, like my husband said this, and now I'm going to reflect on that. So we have this external component for the people that are around us. In jujitsu, do you see a lot of people that are internally trying to make this change and they are kind of stagnant based off of the environment in which they are in? Or do you find that the troublesome part is for that internal change first, and then they start to acknowledge if that external environment is good for them or not? You know, like when does some people are like, this environment is not doing anything for me anymore, I now need to leave, once they've mm-hmm. built themselves up enough to risk leaving that safety net?
100%. I mean, this is something that has happened numerous times with students we work with, where because the thing is, the unconscious, what you don't know, you don't know. And so what you don't know, you don't know, means that you're living out of subconscious programming because you have no awareness. Your power comes with the more awareness you have about yourself and about things. Awareness is power. It's a superpower, because with awareness, we have change. We have choice. And with choice, we have the ability to choose what we've always done or to choose something better for ourselves. So a lot of what we do in the program is awareness in a lot of different ways. And so it's not uncommon. It is extremely not uncommon for people to quit their jobs in the Performance Blueprint, in our other programs. That's our primary one. It's not uncommon for people to get divorces and to leave their spouses. It's not uncommon for people to switch gyms. It's not uncommon for people to cut off relationships with old friends that aren't serving and are toxic to their growth and healing. So say, for instance, they're like, hey, I'm really trying to, you know, make these diet changes and I want to do this thing, but like, you know, my friends keep making fun of me. I'm like, do they deserve, like, then we just kind of have that conversation around like, is that the relationship and the support system that you want in your life, and know that you have the choice? But then what comes up is the fear of rejection, right? Oh, well, if I do that, then I'm not going to have friends or this. And then that's kind of the stuff that we work through to say, hey, this is just coming back up, because there's a part of you as a young girl who experienced rejection and she never got her needs met. So what we have to do is go through the body and actually meet her needs and be there for ourselves. All of the fears that come up is us, and how we work through them is basically us being there for the part of us that didn't have the support that we needed in that moment. Mm-hmm. And it, because patterns repeat, what's happening in our current life right now as an adult and what happened last year and what happened the year before had nothing to do with what was actually happening in that moment, everything to do with what happened at 4 years old. So we really have to go through the body. And the thing is, we might not logically remember that far back, but the body knows. The body remembers. If you've ever read the book, the body keeps the score.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. I was like, because I started reading it. I haven't.
I was going to say, wait, who is this by? Because I want to write this down.
So I've been.
Let me get it for you.
I got it off of Amazon because I wanted to kind of work through my trauma, and I have like a PTSD workbook I have not opened up, but there was so much in there, and I have to read it in doses because it's really hard for me to not listen to other people's traumas, but it's like reading it or seeing it. So it's like anytime I take in any sort of media, I like happy media. I like happy endings. I like
because it influences your own self.
Yeah, but it's also like
in the Zoom chat. That's so true, Misty. That's so that's so right. And guess what? You have two invitations. Number one, go at your own pace.
Yeah.
You don't have to rush through a book like that. Like give yourself, because those types of books will trigger your system, because all of a sudden it pings your system of a deep truth.
Yeah.
And it's often like, holy crap, that's what I've been living in, or that's my reality. Like that resonates with me. That's actually my life. And then all of a sudden, like there starts to become this awareness. We start expanding our consciousness, and there is so much validity in not wanting to know, right? Why did they say ignorance is bliss?
Yeah.
Well, ignorance is bliss, because when we get the more awareness we have, the more choices become available, and we get scared because we're like, if we haven't developed the trust within ourselves, there's just so much of like, can I really trust that what's meant for me is my divine calling? And so I can make those decisions, even if I don't have everything figured out, even if there's a million unknowns, trust that it is for me versus being led through the fear of rejection, judgment, this and that, and letting that. That's whenever I'm talking about making decisions through motivation by fear or by self-love, that those are the paths that we have. And every moment is a moment to choose. Do I make this in commitment with myself? Make this decision? Like, do I make pans or do I not choose to do pans? But the reasoning is because I'm just fearful that I'm not worthy.
Yeah.
How does that's not going to lead into an expansion. Mm-hmm. What's going to push your edge and lead you to an expansion is still knowing that the fear is present and it's valid and it exists. And you can also expand into that version of you and push your edge. And that's how you grow. Literally how energetics works is we're bodies of energy. Yeah. Our whole bodies are energy. When you break it down to a molecular level, we're atoms, which are energy. And so we're constantly contracting and expanding. When we experience anxiety, what happens? We get a tightness, a contraction. When we're in presence of good friends and we're laughing, what happens? We feel like this, like euphoria, this bliss, this presence. That's our expansion. And we get to live from that space every moment of the day.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of like what we're doing is those who are in their own way, competition-wise, mindset-wise, we're going to be like kind of exploring the way in which you move through the world. If you're living from that contracted space, that's what we get to work through and heal and move through. Because when you live more in that openness, that abundance, that limitlessness, then that's what you actually get to bring to the mat.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a completely radically different performance than one that's contracted. Yeah. And I wanted to speak to you real quick, the question that you had about the imposter syndrome, because you had mentioned a question in there. And so I agree that it's kind of twofold, I think, to both of yours, but the more information is a caveat here. So the more information that we learn, absolutely there is the potential to feel small and smaller and smaller and smaller because there is more and more and more out there. And so there's a couple things. One, your filtration system. Only follow but viewing that as wonder and curiosity as to things that you get to step into and learn about, not as a reflection of what you don't know and that you're not there yet. So it's really a shift of that information is like, holy crap, there's so much that I still get to learn, which is actually awesome because I don't want to feel like I have to know it all.
Yeah.
I don't want to feel like I have to know it all.
It's a back and forth game where it's like sometimes, and I feel like everybody, it's going to be a little bit different, especially your jiu-jitsu journey as yourself, where you'll have moments of being like, man, I really don't know everything. And you'll be kind of in that valley. And then other times, like I'm in my current upside where I'm just like kind of relieved where I'm like, I don't have to know everything. Like, it's okay. I can just enjoy jiu-jitsu for what it is.
Yeah.
And so it's I feel like it always goes back and forth, and also based off of, okay, what do you have coming up? Like,
yeah,
I don't have as much coming up. I'm not as pressured about it. So then I can enjoy jiu-jitsu for what it is and for what I don't know. Because that's when you're, like you said, you can be curious, you can explore, you can just try things. And
exactly.
Then when we have competitions, we have the pressure being like, all right, I have to know this. And that's when we focus more on like the, oh, I really don't know this, because we're putting the pressure that we have to know it so well.
Yeah.
So it's the other aspect. Yeah, exactly. And the other aspect is when we focus on what we don't yet know, what an important thing that that is a disadvantage to ourselves that we do to ourselves is we take away our own life experience as any type of validity or truth or worthy, not worthiness in the sense of like, more so we don't give any validity to our experience. So for instance, if I have all this experience, so let me give you an example of me, like who's one of the biggest leaders out there, like Tony Robbins or Deepak Chopra, you know, written numerous books, you know, big people out there in this, you guys know them?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Friends. Huge, right? If I was to wake up every morning and compare myself to them, basically I'd do nothing all day. And I don't compare myself to them as so much as I use them for inspiration, which is the mindset shift I'm kind of inviting people to think of in that way. But if I was to compare myself in the way where I'm like, God damn, they've written books, they have podcasts, they do events, everything I want to do, and I'm just not there yet. Well, I'm just not worthy. What I do is I take away from my life experience, which is what I teach through.
Yeah.
I teach through everything that I've experienced because I know that all to be true. And I can't take away from my own transformation is worth something. And it's in my own transformation and my own experience on this planet that I get to then share that insight with people who were in the same boat. And so that's what fuels me every morning and where imposter syndrome doesn't have a place here. Because no, I don't have a PhD. And there might be a psychologist with a PhD. But what I always come back to is what is my own experience? And can I trust in my own experience and the wisdom and insight and the transformations that I've had within myself and that I've given to other people? And I didn't have any of that. I didn't have any PhDs. I didn't write 10 books. So really coming back to your own experience and start coming into that trust and that idea that everything that you've experienced is worth something. So if you're, you know, a purple belt and you're offered to teach a class, no, you're not a black belt, but what's your experience that you get to share in your own words? Because that's so valid and nobody is you. So you get to teach your own experience and your own insight from your own life experience. And this is what I call true wisdom. This is the true wisdom that you get to live through that nobody else can repeat because they're not you.
Yeah.
Versus in a book, anybody can read a book. Anybody can regurgitate a book. But can you put that book's information into your life experience, experience it for yourself, gain the actual wisdom, and then relay that to other people is what if you can do that, then you won't experience imposter syndrome. However, you will experience imposter syndrome if you are not embodying what you teach. If you're a health coach and in the dark, you still have an eating disorder and you still are, you know, not following any of the advice you're giving your people, you should experience imposter syndrome because you're not aligning yourself with what you're teaching other people. But if you truly believe in what you're doing, and you're speaking from your heart to serve somebody else, imposter syndrome can't exist.
Yeah. There was something I wanted to go back to, but it ties into like the whole thing. And, you know, we've talked about I came into jiu-jitsu because I was in a psychologically, emotionally abusive relationship for a very long time. And part of that, like when it turned, because I mean, most people are going to be like, why were you in it for so long? Blah, 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 blah. Like they do the whole victim blaming shit, but it was good until a turning point. So it was like, I graduated from school with my bachelor's degree. I was trying to get into a rehabilitation program, so like a master's program. Some of them had doctorate programs as well. And I was so forced to only choose schools that were in this area, but those schools are so high level, like not like Ivy League, but they are very elite schools, are very hard to get into. He only forced me to go to those schools versus like some schools that were on the other side of the country that may have been better for me to get into, whatever. But I didn't get in and I couldn't get in. And post that, I was like, well, I can always just find like a full-time job outside, like with my bachelor's degree, and continue to do that. But like, he became so abusive and like just tore me down on like a daily basis. And there was like a point where he called me a failure. I mean, he's called me things like a stupid bitch. Like he would say some like vile things, yeah. But the big thing that stuck with me was he called me a failure. God. Okay.
It's okay. Just breathe.
But
we don't have to rush through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the stuff that like you come back to, like the repetition, the a lot of like our conscious subconscious thought processes were like, because I've been out of that for so long, I'm now so far away from where I was when I was in that spot with him. And you know, you talk a lot about like, you know, doing those affirmations and those negative, or it's like you have positive self-affirmations and you have these ones that these self-deprecating ones, right? So it's like, I'm not worthy versus, you know, like I am worthy, I am enough, I can do all these things. It's so true. But the big thing that is like part of this, or even like your growth within jujitsu or just anything outside of jujitsu, be it like career development, school, whatever, is that network of support. You have like that, those outside factors. And but the things that like we work through for the performance blueprint helped me develop that. I mean, outside like my friend, I have amazing friends and like an amazing boyfriend. So it's like so much easier to grow, but
100% your environment is huge.
Yeah. So it's like
facilitating that.
Easier to grow, but going through that. So it's like even with competing, like going back to this whole masterclass that you're gonna do, or like the mindset or the repetitions that we're doing, is like, I think sometimes like for me personally, going out to compete, I don't want to fail because I just hear his stupid voice like in my head. And then part of it's like, I've moved so far away from that where I'm like, honestly, if I see him, I can beat his ass and break his arm and just, you know, like there's also that part of it too, where I'm like, no, I can actually physically break his arm off. So
yeah,
it's, you know, those types of things, but it, everything that you said rang true, or like going back to the body keep score, like these things that we're talking about are very real, because, you know, we've had women listen to the podcast that have left their gyms.
Yeah. That was one thing I was going to bring up, is that especially with y'all's experience and addressing it yourself, but being so transparent to other people to allow them to hear your own experiences and own reasoning. We've had a couple ladies talk to us, like I've competed with them before, and it was really nice to be like, they were like, I heard y'all talk about it, and I heard y'all leave. Y'all left that environment, and it encouraged me to leave that environment.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, like, just from hearing the experiences, I don't have the same experience Misty does, like how you talk, everybody has their own experience, but that doesn't mean that there's any less value. There's just more opportunity to learn.
100%. And that is the difference between like not competitive, but like the comparisonitis and like scarcity minded, which is scarcity mind is that there's lack, there's limitation, there's not enough to go around. And I'm of the belief that there is more than enough to go around. You can shine, I can shine, and we can shine together because we are our own individual offering our own experience, and nobody is us. And so there's more, and like versus thinking, oh, well, this person has the PhD, so she's like kind of better or higher up. And so like it devalues me. It's not a matter of like one person is more valuable or less valuable mm-hmm. than each other. We are all intrinsically valuable and worthy. We've just been told lies. Mm-hmm. We've just been told a lot of lies. And we've been conditioned to believe otherwise. Yeah. And so we have to recondition that, or we're going to be at the mercy of those beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I can't, it doesn't matter what you do.
I can't remember who the saying's by, but it was, I don't have to diminish my flame for yours to burn brighter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
We can start to, I guess, wrap things up because I think, did you touch on everything that you wanted to?
I know we didn't get into the subconscious as much. We talked really about the conscious as your kind of first part, and then the subconscious, more of the body work, is going to be the second yeah. part. Is there anything else that you want to mention in terms of your masterclass, and then details for listeners? We're going to go ahead and put this episode out kind of ASAP. So to yeah. see if anybody yeah. else would want to join the masterclass.
Yeah. So I'm going to briefly just go over kind of what exactly we're going to be touching on. But the last thing just, that I talked about, I just want to expand on just like for a minute, is just the importance of the subconscious work, because like that is just so important. And that's a big part of what we're doing in the masterclass is going into the body. We're going to be doing a somatic meditation that is actually a belief change process. It's been life-changing for me. I use it on my students, my one-on-one clients, things like that. And that's exactly what we need. Like, seriously, this is what your missing piece is. And I'm kind of talking to you as far as like the group listening. If you feel that you have been in your own way, this is your next step. And this is exactly what you need. Like, there is nothing else. There's no more drilling. You don't have to do an extra class. This is what you need that's going to propel you further. Because as Misty said, that belief of thinking I'm a failure because of that experience, that actually has nothing to do with him. He amplified it. There's a part that's probably even younger that he triggered immensely and was reinforcing that belief. And so really getting into the body and letting the body remove anything that is no longer serving it, and creating space in the body using your breath. Your breath releases stagnant energy that's not serving you. It's stories, belief systems. That's what our breath does. And then what happens when we release is we open up spaciousness in our body to invite in new belief systems. And then we can anchor in new belief systems. And then from that new belief system, we're now viewing the world from that belief system, which is what shifts. So the workshop is all about this concept. And so it's two parts. The first hour is teaching focus, understanding a little bit more in depth of the science behind how our minds work, the subconscious, how belief systems work, what that flow is like, understanding and learning about our conditioning and how it shapes our mindset. So our perception, understanding, we're going to do kind of some practices or some journaling around understanding what each person's limiting belief is and how they are holding them back in competition. And potentially life, because it's all interconnected, but really understanding like through reflection, like what are the limiting beliefs that show up? So when I'm competing or when I'm leading up to something, or as soon as I sign up for that competition, the first thought in my mind is like, can I do this? Like, what are the thoughts? What are the immediate thoughts? Is it something like, oh yeah, I fucking got this. I'm getting this like this. Or is it, oh God, I'm going to cancel my registration. No.
Why did I just do that?
Yeah. Right. So then those are the things that we actually get to write down and explore and be like, why is that coming up? Why is that my default? Versus really trusting myself and really going all in and giving myself the benefit of the doubt. And so like understanding that, because that is not just showing up in competition. That's going to be something that always comes up in every single thing. And it will come up in every competition until you address it. So we're going to get clear on that. Learning the difference, going more into detail around the difference between the mindset and embodiment practices and the difference between the both. Understanding and addressing, again, our subconscious and where that is the key to shifting our old disempowering beliefs. We're going to do lots of like journaling and reflection around that to understand exactly like what that is. So it's very interactive. Everything I do is always interactive. I just like to teach that way. And then we're going to be led through a nice sized meditation That's a somatic practice to literally shift the actual beliefs that we worked with in the masterclass. So we're going to work through, you're going to pick a belief that you feel is like a recurring pattern showing up for you. And then we're going to literally release it from the body. We're going to release it and we're going to invite in a new belief system. So my intention is that you are viscerally shifted at the end of this. It is also important to know for people listening, this is recorded and you'll have lifetime access to this. And I say that because you can watch it as many times as you need to. Watch it right before you're about to do another competition, right? And then any belief that comes up, do it, right? This is something that is so seriously priceless. This is priceless. This practice changed my freaking life. And this is why I offer it. Because what good is knowledge if you're not going to share it, right? And so that's why I'm so passionate about getting this to as many athletes as possible, because I want everybody to shine. Even if it's going to be my competitor the next time I sign up for a competition, I'm like, damn it, she listened to my meditation. Damn it.
But then because part of you is just like, it's because of me. You're better than me. Like, I did that for you.
I won vicariously through you.
Yes.
No, but I often say, like, last thing I'll wrap up with is, like, as far as technique to technique, granted, there's going to be somebody who just has better technique than you. You're going to come across somebody at some point, because say you just got your blue belt and there's somebody who's been a blue belt for 6 years, four stripes. They probably, like, that's not 100% the truth. You could be absolutely win that. But also they probably just have a lot of experience at that belt. Maybe they've done 500 tournaments at that belt. And that's your first tournament, right? There's things that can be stacked in that way. So like, that's kind of the caveat, but like in general, when you are face-to-face with that person, the person wins is the one with more self-belief. End of story.
Yeah.
It doesn't have anything to do with your technique. The person who wins has more self-belief.
Even
and so that's what this work is for. It's like you're doing the training work. You're doing all that work. And we support you in optimizing that, your nutrition, your training, you know, making sure you're not hitting burnout. That's what all the programs are for. But the work that we're stepping more into, specifically in my one-on-one mentorship and in these masterclasses, and this one particularly, is really understanding the impact of the under behind the scenes, the subconscious, the things that you don't see as tangible, which usually are deemed not valuable because you can't see the actual result. You're like, oh, well, I didn't lose 5 pounds off my waist. So what actually happened? But it always comes back to the belief systems. It's, what is your self-talk? What is the language you're constantly using? Because if that's not serving you and you feel like that's what's holding you back, then you're not stuck there. You have the choice to choose something else. And that's kind of what my whole mission is about, is like literally telling people, like, whenever you feel stuck, that's a lie. You always have a choice.
Yeah. So this starts on Monday.
Oh yeah. So this is September 16th. So it's actually a Thursday.
Thursday.
It's 2 hours and it's from 1 to 3 Eastern time.
Okay.
On Zoom.
Okay.
Again, and you do again, not have to be able to come live.
Again, because it's gonna recorded. Be recorded. Yes. Lifetime access. It's going to be recorded. And then
the benefit to live is just simply that, like, if you have a live question, then like you can ask me, but other than that, every material still applies. You'll still get the same effectiveness, the same benefits watching the recording.
Yeah. And people can also, I know they can gain a lot of value from following you on Instagram. We'll put your Instagram handle, the Body by Boss LLC Instagram handle.
And I'll put the link for the masterclass in the bio.
Yes. And then we have like the Facebook group where you also provide a lot of freebies for people. And then your website, Body by Boss. Is it just Body by Boss or is it Body by Boss LLC?
Bodybyboss.com.
Okay. Bodybyboss.com.
Yeah.
You can access the breathwork training session, get more information on a lot of the things you provide. Cause like you said, like,
what I'll do is I'll send you a little blurb of each of them.
Okay.
Of all the ways that we can work together for people that want to work from the lowest level investment to the highest level investment. There's something for everyone and it really is everything around holistic performance. So, if you want to, or and health, so anything physical health, mental health, from a holistic perspective. So what that means is looking at your life from all the angles, because everything's interconnected. So that's kind of the big purpose of my whole company, is nothing is like just segmented. It all is interconnected. And that's how we do everything. So it's not just like one thing, because it all, you know, why you can't follow through with your nutrition has everything to do with your mindset. And yeah, probably because you're burnt out, so you choose fast food, things like that.
Yeah, and I recommend, for those of you listening, bare minimum, look at her Instagram story, because you know how she talks about, she lives what she teaches, and she's honest and real. It's not like some people where it's, I'm only going to show the positive. Yeah. She's real with you. So if you only do one thing, watch her stories, mm-hmm. and you can get a feel for who she is as a person. Because that was like, she told me, she was like, the performance blueprint. And I was like, okay, we're going to talk to this girl. This was before we had the first interview. And so I was like, well, I want to see her on my own and make my own like decision. Yeah. Cause I know she loved you, but we're very much like, no matter how we feel about a person, we want each other to have our own individual.
Oh, like, kind of course.
Determination of how we like that person, rather than just being like, oh, I love you. Cause she loves you. No, yeah. I love you so independently.
Yeah. Well, and that's for people who are listening. If you haven't listened to the first episode where we talk about the performance blueprint and like my personal experience, but that's how I found her. And just everything you were posting was just resonating so deeply with me. And I was like, I have to do this program. And, you know, I'm so glad I did. I'm so glad that I like trusted myself to go forward with it. And just everything, you know, like, because we had a Zoom, we talked yesterday, and you said that it's not about me, but you do provide a lot of services and your knowledge is just so invaluable. Like everything that you are able to provide to other people to optimize their performance, be it for competition, or if they just want to be better athletes, if they, the things they can also carry, you know, the things you're doing, they can also carry through, you know, their lives. So, I'm looking forward to doing them. I'm doing the masterclass. I'm looking forward to it. And I hope, you know, other people do too. If anybody else has any questions, you can also reach out to me and Keely on the Black Belt or Bus Instagram. We can always provide you more information for these programs, these services that Natalie,
like we said, this podcast is a resource for y'all to meet people like Natalie and to get in touch with them. Cause we've said it before. I will say it even more now. Yes, I'm a doctor. I'm not that kind of doctor. We are not specialists in these fields. We would prefer to get y'all in touch with wonderful individuals like herself,
yeah.
that have the experience, that have the information that you need specific to you.
Yes.
So yes, we can talk about what we've gone through, but it's best to go ahead and get you in touch with the people that will help you the best.
Yes, 100%.
So. And my last blurb on that, for the people that go on social media and you're like, hey, I've got this going on, and like 200 strangers respond, it's good when they give you a resource, not just being like, oh, do this. No, that's for them. But if they give you, they're like, hey, I recommend talking to this person. They're a specialist in the field. That's the good information to get. Mm-hmm. So tag Natalie. If you see her name highlighted, you should click on it. You should follow it. You should commit to it. There we go.
Yes.
That's my soapbox.
So thank you for being on the podcast again. And I'm so excited. Like, I'm excited for the masterclass. I hope everybody else is. So
I hope I'm not working that I can go.
And we want to just thank everybody for continuing to listen to the podcast and support us. We always appreciate it.
We have stickers.
Yes,
by the way.
Stickers and patches.
Yes, we need your address so we can send you a little sticker.
Yes.
Yeah. Sticker.
Yeah. I am like so many stickers all over my laptop. It's like my thing. I need to put it on there.
Yeah. So
I love putting stickers on my bottle.
But for everybody else, we have stickers and patches, so reach out to us at our Instagram handle, Black Belt or Bust. And that's it for today's show.
Sounds good. Yay. Have anything else, Natalie?
No, just I love you all, and just please follow me. I just want you to get as much value as possible. Facebook group as well. Free Facebook Lives every Tuesday, so just soak up as much as you can. I'm here for you.
Bye.